Que paz, Sofia, hein? Come say something. Come on.
Such a lovely day. I had a good sleep this afternoon. So, yeah. Well, as this morning we, each of the team that we took to Samoa for our mission trip, and they share their hearts, and I say that's a lot of stories to tell. But the time that was very limited for us, and but I just want to share something that God has how it happened. So it happened, but I always wanted to take a mission trip, a mission team somewhere. Definitely, actually, really was to Russia because my heart is still there. Some of these guys that their hearts lift are lifting, some of their hearts are lifting some more. Well, my heart is lifted. Some of part of my heart is still in Russia. And about 4 years ago, I have in my heart to take a, it's part of the women's conference. And I like to take a team to Russia. And I prayed and I prayed and God put that in my heart. I know it was him. I know it's something that is, if it's something that's beyond you, you definitely know it's not you. So that is such a high cloud for me when God spoke that. And I cried. Because that is my heart sick. And I was scared because I know my own self, I won't be able to take a team to Russia. But then I prayed and I asked God when. So I still had, God hasn't released that. And then when I went to Samoa last year and was able to visit where we went, the Samoan victim support group, and I saw something that I will never, never, ever dream that Samoa would get into. Because Samoa is a family people, family nation. They will not reject their loved ones, and they will not, you know, in my own eyes, they will not do such thing to their children. But it happened. So it really broke my heart. And when I was there in November last year, I felt God say, this is where you bring a team. And I thought, oh, you know when you dream about something and then it's kind of redirect, you feel like, oh, and it's more scarier than the one that you've been dreaming about taking to Russia and all that. Because I have already had women that say yes to Russia. So I have to come back and say, well, women, we're not going to Russia. We're going to Samoa. And I share my heart with them. And straight away, especially one of my girls, she got into it and kind of almost like went ahead of me. And she's going there to live next year. And I thought, oh, wow. You know, it's amazing how one of the theme of our women's conference is she rises. And I spoke on Naomi, how she say, yes, I will rise to go back to Jerusalem. And if she wasn't rise and to go back to Jerusalem, to Israel, to Bethlehem, we won't have a story about Ruth. And that was, it seems to me that, you know, we're going to Samoa and somebody has already risen to take and went ahead and saw the need in that place and committed to that. And so when we went, for me personally, it was such a big, scary time. Because like I said, that is my heart. But also I'm scared because I never done it before. It's a big step of faith. It's like what this morning you step out of the boat and, you know, you just wonder whether you're going to walk or sink. So you prayed, you know, God, don't let me sink. And it's one of those moments that you hold on God. And like the song that we sang this morning, that Jesus is the center of it all. No matter what happened, no matter what it comes, when Jesus is the center, you're so safe. And the time when all the team got there, I was so overwhelmed with the thought, oh wow, it happened. It fulfilled. You know, I don't know whether a dream is fulfilled in your life. You felt so humbled being in the center of God's will and being used by God. And because when God used you, God fulfilled your dream. God fulfilled the other people's dreams as well. So it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about God and other people. And their dreams are fulfilled as well. And other needs have been met. So many. I did say to the Samuel Victim Support Group that I will come back. I didn't plan to go back this soon. And they remembered. And I'm so glad that I fulfilled my word. And I said, well, I can't touch everyone in this group. So I thought I'd bring another 11 of me that they will touch, and I'll be able to touch every child. And I spend most of the time, even though I was running around and, you know, being in the House of Hope and being in the House of Blessing. Actually, I named that place the House of Blessing, not knowing that's what they were thinking about. That to call that the orphanage is a house of blessing. So praise God for that. And this is the verse that God gave me when, mind you, well, this is what God gave me when we started the Beautiful Ashes Conference. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. You know, when God called you, His Spirit will come upon you. His Spirit will come upon us. Because He has anointed you to do the thing that God has graced you to do. And it's amazing how when we live in our grace, it's amazing how we realize the grace of God upon our lives and activate on that, things happen beyond our imaginations. And the only thing that the Spirit that you have is just is so humble. You just humble your heart because you know there is no way that you personally will be able to do that. It's only because of the Spirit of God and the anointing of God. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppression. And that's what it was with the team. Taking the good news of Jesus loves them. Jesus loves them with an everlasting life. And Jesus loves to define themselves. The circumstances and the condition and whatever had happened to them does not define who they are, because God has loved them with an everlasting love to bind up the brokenhearted. And that was the message that we took. Hinemoe sitting around with these girls, and I just love that because I know that's her anointing. That's what God has anointed her to sit around as a mother, as a grandmother. And I don't know if you were at the women's conference, you know, we've been sitting in this house and it's been pouring in with the treasure of the Word of God. You've been sitting there, and there's generations that are so hungry, generations that are so starving for what you have. So I said, old people, didn't I? So, senior ones, you know, senior people, you have the treasure, the goodness, the richness of the Word of God that the generation, the younger generation are so hungry for. You know, they are so sick of this plastic world, this toy world. They want the reality, the miracles, your stories. They want to be fed by that and take that. So, and then they say to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives. And that's what it is. We all take that news, that good news, and release the prisoners. And, you know, when we were there, Even at the orphanage that we were there, you sense, because those children, some of them were, when they were born, you know, newly born, they were thrown away in the bush. My baby was thrown in the bush. Her name is Crystal. And she was found there. And there was these ladies from the office. They tried to find out when was her birthday. I feel like saying, I can give her a birthday. Because they don't know when she was born. And there was one was found behind the Samoan government building. Her name is Mira Hope. She was found with everything, placenta and everything that was there. I am so grateful that a dog didn't find her before anybody else found it. It's such a beautiful, beautiful. And you know what? I pray that what had happened to them would not define them. I pray for all of them. Mind you, when we first got there, I think one of them, they said that there were sores from the top of their heads to the sole of their feet. Their hands were sore everywhere. And she said that she didn't want to touch them because she embraced them. And that's what it did. What do you call those things? Their eyes were full of,
I don't know, gum.
Hey?
Gingivitis.
Wow, their eyes were full of that. 13 of them. They were sick children. And Hinamoy was there as well, just hugged them. I mean, that's what they just want to have a body contact. You know, that's what they wanted. Because there's only two women that live in there that look after these 13 babies. And that's why they were sore. Because they haven't got enough time to tend to one individual babies. And so when we came, and that's what I said to our team, pray. Just pray for them and speak into their hearts. Speak into their ears. Jesus loves you. I love you. And then I tell you what, the day that we said goodbye, which is really hard, it's so good to see them so well. Healthy. There were no sore on their heads. There were no sore on their face. Actually, I think I got one of those things. And I wasn't scared about it. I feel like I was sharing what they're going through with in a very little measure. I think I got, I don't know what they call it, baby. What is it called? Huh? Scabies. So when you saw us having a swim, that's when we go, I thought, I'm going to wash this off, you know, at that sea. Because that's what they have. You know, they share clothes, they share baths. I mean, like, I think one of the girls say they share a bath. And that's truly true. That's all they have. And this small, small building that they've given to them. And then it says to comfort them. And the day of ventures, sorry, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of ventures of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That's what it is. You know, sometimes our action will speak louder than our words. And that spoke so well, louder, not only to the children, but also to the staff, that the team, each one of them, have left their work, have left their families, find money for airfares and accommodation, and come and share the love of God with them. To provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beauty for ashes, and that's where our Beautiful Ashes conference name come from. And the oil of joy, gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of faint spirit. And that's what the team been doing. It's just singing songs. And it's just lift the spirit of the children and also the workers. And one of the workers, and she just, three times, she just poured her heart to me. And that's what it is. You just need an ear, somebody that have an ear to hear. You know, regardless of what they're going through, they just want somebody to hear their stories. And by sharing that, it lightened their hearts, enlightened their burdens, because they know that you care for them. And because God wants to call us oaks of righteousness for Him, for His sake. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. You're right. Okay. Give my wife a hand. Hallelujah. It was a great time to be there, and quite humbling. And praise the Lord. God is good. As long as there is breath in your lungs, you have hope. Hallelujah. And it was nice to be God's arm extended to those dear ones. The team worked really hard. And they knitted well together, and it was nice to be able to sit down every morning and have breakfast together before they disperse to their duties. One half of the team will go to the House of Hope, where the older children were. The others will go to the House of Blessing, where the babies are. And they are thinking of building another two homes. One of those homes called the House of Dreams. What's the other one? House of Faith. And it's just humbling to see, and it's great to see what God can do when people arise and do something in God. And there's so much that can happen. And God's answer is not a program. God's answer is not a government. God's answer is a human being. God's agenda has always been a man. A woman who is available. I remember one time a few years ago we had the Christian party, and I remember being taken to task by somebody. He said, "You should not have said that." I looked at the Christian party's manifesto and their policy. He said, "They're terrible." I said to him, "The problem is you're thinking outside of the Bible. You're thinking about policies. God never thinks about policies. God thinks about people. And God's answer is not a policy. God's answer is a man. God's answer is a woman. That's why you are where you are. You meet somebody, don't give them a policy to meet their need. You are the answer to their need. You are the answer to their cry. You are the one that's there to be able to help them. You don't give them a policy. You don't give them a book. You are there. You help." And God's agenda has always been that. God's answer is not a conference or a teaching or a seminar. God's answer is a man. It's a woman. Now, the man may teach. The woman may speak at the seminar. They may impart knowledge. But it's not the conference. It's the person. God's answer to everything on the planet is a man. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the reason I'm talking quite a lot is because I don't know what to say. So you can help me. Hallelujah. And we shared this morning that if you're going to walk on the waters, you have to get out of the boat. You can't walk on waters and sit in the boat with an oar. It's just not possible. You have to get out of the boat to be able to walk on the waters. Are you okay? Let me read it to you to give you a basis of what I'm going to share, and then we'll get into it. We'll pray for some of you and believe God for touching on your life. Immediately, I'm reading from Matthew 14. And verse 22, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, that's past midnight, okay? Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the waters." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the waters to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you a little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Now, one of the things that a lot of people, when speaking on this particular passage, criticize Simon Peter, that he sank. They focus on his doubt instead of his faith. Peter may have sunk, but there are only two people in the history of humanity that ever walked the waters: Peter and the Lord. One of the things we said this morning is Jesus was not angry when Peter wanted to walk on the waters. He didn't say, "Who do you think you are? I'm the master here. You want to walk on the water?" Now, he didn't say that. Now, many of us, in our way of living, we don't like people to be on the same par as us because we think we are pretty hot shot. If we are the boss, we want to let everybody know that we are the boss, and they are not. And here, Peter said, "Lord, if that is you, command me to come, and I'll come on." And Jesus said, "Come." Jesus did not say, "Don't. Don't you know you are on the water? You are not a boat. You are a man. A boat may float, but a man does not float." But in God, it doesn't matter what happens. In God, anything can float. An axe head can float. Hello? And a man can float. If a man can... And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. The guy actually walked on the water. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says he began to focus on the wind and the waves and lost the focus on Jesus, and he began to sink. And then he said, "Lord, help me." And Jesus again did not say, "Oh, come on." No, he just picked him up and said, "Why did you doubt?" And sometimes we can begin a walk of faith and then keep on sinking, because we keep on concentrating on things that we shouldn't concentrate on. And one of the things we said this morning is many times we live by faith by accident. An event happens and you have to come up to par with what's happening, and all of a sudden you've done it. The only problem is, after you've done it, you go right back to where you were before. God wants us to live in the realm of the supernatural all the time. He said, if you're going to walk, you walk by faith and not by sight. You walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. You walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. You walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. God created you in his image.
You're made in the image of God. You may not believe that, but you're made in the image of God. And it's not just the image that you see outside. There is a capability inside of you that is God-born, and it may never be discovered if you're lazy. It may never be discovered if your happiness is stored in your friend's brain. Many people are under pressure because of their friends, and they're never true to themselves, and they live a lie all their lives because they're pressured to perform a particular way by the expectation of their friends. And therefore, some of them take their lives because the expectation is not met. And they never live to their capacity because they're trying to please somebody else who think their perspective and honor of their lives is greater than who they are. Are you okay? Their approval of what they do. And if they don't approve, are you all right? There are people who die and go to hell forever knowing the truth that Jesus Christ can save them from sin because of the pressure that is put on them by the expectations of their friends and loved ones. I remember praying for a couple. I mean, they got saved and they gave their lives to Jesus, and the parents were there in the church. They gave their lives to Jesus, and then the father got offended by somebody in the church and left the church so angry and began to backslide, and then wanted the daughter to come out of the church, and the daughter now pressured her husband to come out of the church. And I prayed for them, and I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "I want to honor my dad. My dad wants me to get out of here, and I want my husband to come, but my husband does not want to come, and I want her to come." And so I said this to her. I said, "When your dad is in hell forever, and you are there with him, just thank him for pushing you and pulling you out of heaven and taking you to hell. How stupid can you be and still breathe?" Why? Because she thought that to obey her dad and move out of God was honorable. I said, "That's not honorable. Your father violated God's laws, and he wants you to violate the same laws. And he's going to hell if he doesn't repent. And then you're following him. When you get there, thank him for taking you to hell with him." You remember that act on the heaven's gates, hell's flames? I almost didn't get the boy. Life is real. Life is not a game. Life is a reality. There are two destinations. You're either going to heaven or going to hell. That's it. There's no purgatory. There's no intermediary place where you're going to stay and then get better and then all of a sudden you get to heaven. No, there's no purgatory. That's just a nice doctrine that will help you get to hell faster. There's only two destinations. Either God's your father or the devil's your father. The devil lives in hell. That's his domain. And God lives in heaven. That's his domain. You make a decision. Hallelujah. And where you end up in, it's not God's fault. God has predestined you for heaven. If you find yourself in hell, it's just your own silly choice. Are you okay? Now, how did I get on that? I was talking about faith. Now, everybody, if you're going to live triumphantly and live for God, you have to walk by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, there are two sources of knowledge. The Bible tells us that there are two sources of wisdom. If you ever look at James, the book of James, it will give you a great understanding of what you're facing. Hallelujah. And chapter 3, James chapter 3. And verse 13. Are you okay? All right. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So there is a wisdom that is earthly, that is sensual, and actually demonic. Now, many people don't know that, but even some of the people in the church, your wisdom is demonic. Now, how do you say that, Pastor? I'm born again. You know, Peter, Jesus said to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And then Jesus said, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to go to the cross. And Peter took him aside and said, you're not. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And then what Jesus said next is very important. He said, you do always mind the things of man. You do always mind the things of man. And Jesus called him Satan. Now, how would you like your best friend to tell you that you're Satan? And then tell you to get in behind me, Satan. What is the source that sometimes of the demonic wisdom, because you constantly are anchored on the things of man. Now, did you know that witchcraft is not a spirit? Many people that have done a cleansing stream have, you know, you talk about the spirit of witchcraft. And it is true. There is a spirit of witchcraft. But witchcraft is not primarily a spirit. Witchcraft is primarily a work of the flesh. Your desire to dominate another human being, your desire to manipulate another human being, and most kids that are under pressure by their friends come under witchcraft. They don't know that. They think it's funny. But the devil does not think it's funny. The devil actually likes it. It becomes spiritual. But if you read the Bible, Galatians chapter 5, part of the fruit of the flesh is witchcraft. So witchcraft is not primarily spiritual. It starts off with you just minding the things of man. And then you get so bound up in witchcraft, you can't break free. You need the power of the Spirit of God to come and kick that spirit out. But it didn't start off a spiritual thing. It's just demonic wisdom. So let's have a look at this. All right. He says, this wisdom does not descend. This wisdom that brings strife, division. Hallelujah. He says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. If there's self-seeking and envy, it's not the truth. You may talk about it. You may think you justify it. But it says, don't lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. You know some Christians that think like that? Do you think like that sometimes? So, and then he says this, for where there is envy and self-seeking, where that exists, confusion and every evil thing is behind that. Now imagine that. Behind that wisdom is every evil thing. You don't know it because it's disguised, but behind that envy and bitterness is every evil thing. Now, either James knows what he's talking about, or we rip it off and find another Bible, or go find another God. So there is an earthly wisdom, and there is a heaven. But this is what it says, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, listen, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So there is an earthly wisdom. There is a heavenly wisdom. Now, when you're made in the image of God, you are a candidate for heavenly wisdom. Now, there is an earthly wisdom that often will come up. And Adam and Eve fell because they listened to that. Now, when we said you have to live by faith, the reason you have to live by faith is because when God created you, He created the human being in His image so that the human being can live by faith. Are you all right? Now, faith does not discriminate. Whether it's a woman or a man, whether it's a sick person or well, whether it's a white man or black man, it does not care. Faith does not respect men because of their standing. Everywhere there is a human being that latches onto faith will live in the supernatural. You don't have to have a degree to live by faith. You just have to know God. Now, a very, very educated man came one day. His name was Nicodemus. And he said to Jesus, how come I know the Torah as much as you do? I'm a teacher of the law. I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I'm a PhD at the University of the Hebrews. But I can't do what you do. And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So it's not education. You can be educated and still go to hell on roller skates. But education does not limit the way you live by faith, because education is not the qualification. It's when you get to know Jesus and then move out of the boat and not stay in the comfort zone like everybody else and began to live by faith. And when that happens, it so pleases God. The Bible says, without faith, it's in. If you study the word impossible in Greek, it means impossible. If you study the word impossible in English, you know what it means? Impossible. If you study the word impossible in Samoan, guess what it means? Impossible. That means it's absolutely impossible to please God unless you and I walk by faith. And yet, faith is so simple, it's complex. It's so simple that a housewife can walk by faith. An uneducated man like Smith Wigglesworth can walk by faith. Smith Wigglesworth was known as the apostle of faith. Yet, he could not read and he could not write. His wife had to teach him to read and his wife had to teach him to write. But yet he moved the planet by the word of God. He came to New Zealand. He just arrived in New Zealand on his own. One man went to wait for him at the wharf in Wellington. He was in New Zealand 1-2 days. The whole of New Zealand knew there was a man of God in Wellington. And when he turned up to the meeting, there were more people outside the town hall than in the town hall. And the town hall was packed. So he got out of the whatever it was at the time, whether it was a car or a cart, and began to minister from outside the town hall. And people were getting up and getting healed. There were crutches thrown away everywhere. And he was just an uneducated plumber. What does that say? It means that God is no respecter of men, but God is a respecter of faith. And anybody is a candidate of faith, whether you go to school or not. Hallelujah. And when you learn to get out of the boat, whether you're a farmer, a professor, a teacher, or just a housewife, God looks down and said, I like that. Hallelujah. One of the greatest examples of faith in the Bible was a prostitute. The people were defeated because they came to spy out the land, have a look, and they said, oh, there are giants in the land. So they died in the wilderness. And when Joshua sent 2 spies out, they met this prostitute. You know what the prostitute said? Every man's heart melted when they heard of your story. Your God walked through the Red Sea, and your God dried up the Jordan. They didn't, you know, the spies, the 12 spies that came first, they did not know that story. They just saw and said, we can't do it. And yet, a prostitute told the 2 spies that came after, everybody was defeated before you got here. And when I heard that story, when I heard that your God crossed the Red Sea, I decided not to be a prostitute anymore, but put my faith on the God Jehovah of Israel. Now, every house in Jericho was destroyed, but the house of the prostitute. Every house in the city can be destroyed. It doesn't mean that your house can be destroyed. What was the difference between everybody else and the prostitute? It was faith. The point that I'm trying to make is, it doesn't matter what your background is, everybody is a candidate for faith. Now, the amazing thing is, when you study the story of Rahab, her faith got her through, her family got saved. Hallelujah. And then when James, that we read from, when James wrote about faith, James said something very, very peculiar. He said, faith without works is dead. So if you have faith, there are corresponding action that go with your faith. Hallelujah. If you have faith to walk on the water, there are corresponding actions. You have to get out of the boat. Hallelujah. And then James did something so amazing. He takes 2 examples of people whose action corresponded to their faith. The first example was Abraham. Now, everybody can understand that. I mean, he's the epitome of faith. You know, outside of Jesus Christ, Abraham is the father of the faith. But the next example James took will just blow your mind out of the water. Because the next example was Rahab, the prostitute. He is the father of the faith and a prostitute, according to James, standing together in the hall of fame of faith. One, the father of the faith, and the other one, a prostitute. In God's eyes, no difference. Why? You don't have to be educated to have faith. You just have to trust God. Read His word, believe Him, and walk
in a supernatural realm. Now, how would you like to have your name next to Abraham's name? And when they discover you, you are a prostitute, not a professor. Why? Because God is no respecter of men. Regardless of your background, never let your background determine your destiny. Your background must not define where you're heading. Hallelujah. What defines where you're heading is your relationship with Him. The Bible says, when we run this race called life, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And when you run this life called faith, this race called life, you run it by faith. Hallelujah. The Bible says, we overcome. We overcome the odds. We overcome the obstacles. Because we run, we live, we walk, we leap by faith. Hallelujah. How did I become a pastor? By faith. If I wait on my education, I'll never make it. It's faith. It's faith that pleases God. Now, some of you here tonight, all you need is a decision. Hallelujah. All you need is a decision to say, God, I'm here. I'm available. Take this vessel. Use me. Some of you, all you need is a decision because you live your life so defeated. And say, God, I'm a candidate. Take my hand. If you can bless a prostitute that she becomes triumphant and is in the hall of fame because she trusts in you, I can trust in you. Hallelujah. Are you okay? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. And sometimes we need to demystify faith. Sometimes we need to know that faith can be very, very simple. That anyone is a candidate to find faith in Christ. If you're here tonight, maybe God is saying, why don't you get out of the boat? There's so much more that can be accomplished. You can live a very different life if you'll just choose me. Joshua challenged the people, choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we made our choice. We're going to serve the Lord. No one that has ever served the Lord has ever regretted living for God. I remember meeting a guy that I worked with, and I was going to a midweek meeting, a church meeting, and I met him. I could tell you his name, but I won't. He might still be alive. And he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church. And he asked me all these questions. He said, what if in the end you are wrong? I said, if in the end I'm wrong, I will never change anything. Because living for Jesus has blessed me. It's given me peace. It's given me health. It's made my life glorious. It's nice to have a clean conscience. You look people in the face and you know you. You know. So if even in the end, I find out that I'll never change anything, I'll still live for God. And he was standing there, you know, he's drunk, just come out of the Oxford pub in Christchurch. And then I said to him,
what if in the end I'm absolutely right, which I think I am, I believe I am. You know what? He totally sobered in 2 seconds. Why? Because in every human being, God has put eternity in your heart. You know that you know, if you're really honest, that God is real, and you know you're walking away from God, or you are walking towards God. If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you've given your life to just about everything, but it hasn't worked. You've given your life to drugs, to your friends, and they messed up your head. Why don't you give your life to the one that gave you life and see what Christ can do? You know what he said? The devil cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And if you know God, maybe God is saying, hoy, there's so much more I want to do in your life and through your life, but you need to get out of the boat. And if you just get out of the boat, you're going to walk on water and don't ever get back to walking on land. Just walk by faith, not by sight. If that's you, I want you to come because we'd love to pray for you. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. In the name above all names. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart is our God. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Hallelujah. Father, help us to know the greatness of this God that we serve. You created all things by the word of your power and sustain and uphold everything by that same word. Help us tonight to know that you're not serving a God that is powerful, but way out there beyond our reach. Help us to know that the God that we serve is the all-powerful God and is always with us. Help us to know that the Lord our God in our midst is mighty. That this God has come to live in our hearts and change our lives forever. Father, I pray for everyone that is standing here. I pray that our hearts will be touched, changed, challenged, ministered to, blessed, impacted by the grace, by the love, by the power of this great God of glory. Father, bless your people tonight. These dear ones that have come because they've heard of your great name. Lord, I pray, touch their lives. There'll be men and women that will walk by faith and be victorious in every area of their lives because they trust in you. Lord, bless them. Indeed, I pray in the name of Jesus. If you're in the front, you've never made Christ the Lord of your life, can you lift your hand up? You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. All right. I want some prayers to come and pray for these dear ones. Hallelujah. And ask God to minister to them. Hallelujah.